On this night, the church gives us a lesson on how to understand what God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. First, we get a glimpse of God's love for us in the story of Abraham. He put Abraham to the test to see whether Abraham would love God more than his son. And Abraham did. And that story has come down to us to strengthen our faith. And then God preferred us to his own son. If you can catch a glimpse of Abraham's love for God, you can begin to understand God's love for us. It's that powerful. He preferred that his son become man, walk around this earth, be humiliated, beaten, and die for our sake. That's how much he loves us, and that's how much Jesus loves us. And that was the first reading. In the second reading, you see how much God hates sin and hates the devil, the demons. He drowned them all in the sea. And as Paul points out over and over again, that's your baptism. You get baptized or you renew your baptism and really mean it, and Satan has to flee and get drowned in the sea. This is a real battle, a tough one. It's the battle of light and darkness. But our refuge is the fact that we who are baptized into Christ Jesus. And so, as we'll see in a moment, the consequences of that. Then, we have this solemn promise to the people in exile, suffering, humiliation, and loneliness. Exile. And what did God promise them? I will cleanse you. You can't do it. I will take out of your hearts that heart of stone, and I, by my power, will give you a human heart. Now, what's a human heart? A human heart is one that loves God. It's one that praises God. That's a gift from God. We don't have that. What we have is a stony heart. But you see, tonight we celebrate the work of Jesus Christ to take that heart from us. He took it right out on the cross and put into us a human heart filled with the Holy Spirit. When he died, he handed over the Spirit and began a whole new era in human history. And then finally, we have this account of the women going to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away, but they didn't find the body. They were puzzling over this. And then two men in dazzling garments appeared to them, and they were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Why? Because these men had a glimpse, a reflection of the radiance and the glory and the light that is always coming from Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Tonight, you will receive that. Yes, he's hidden in the bread and wine, but he is all light. And these angels, they reflect that light. And sometimes, even the saints reflect that light. Even in this world, they reflect that light. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we let the Lord so take over our lives that we would be light? Light. The heart of that light is love. And so they said a challenge. This is a challenge to all of us. Why do you seek the living among the dead? How do you treat your Lord Jesus Christ? Is he alive to you? Why do you seek him among the dead, among stupid, useless distractions, among stupid and useless pursuits, when you can have a living, transforming knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the very depth of your spirit? So why seek the living who lives in you? That's why you have a human heart. Among the dead, among the television, among the radio, among all the latest and the greatest news. When you can have the Son of God alive in your heart. And then remember what he said to you when he was still in Galilee. He prophesied this. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day. And they remembered. Why did they remember? Because our Lord has told them, as he told his apostles, when I send my blessed Holy Spirit, he will bring to mind everything I said to you. My friends, he will do that for us. So that the words of Jesus are alive and fire and consolation and spirit and life and love, the very words of Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is the word that he gives us? Love each other. That's the word. Come, seek me. I promise you, and I know this is a word for us in this community and for all our guests, if you want it. The Lord is saying, I am inviting you to a deeper life tonight. I am inviting you to a deeper life. You don't need me to tell you, my friends, says the Lord. You just look around you and you can see darkness and darkness growing. But I promise you that you will be light. If you come to me, if you abandon things that are wrong and stupid and silly, and come to me, and if you let me make you faithful by the power of my Spirit to a real life of prayer, I promise you, that you will be in union with me. And when that happens, my friends, the world will see me. The world will see love, peace, joy, concern for others, because I will reign in your hearts. I invite you to this tonight. This is the night when we celebrate my resurrection. I am with you. I celebrated with you. And I promise you, come to me. Are you worried about your sins? Bring them. We can work on them together. That's not a problem. Come. Don't worry about anything. Come to me and listen to me. And I promise you, you will have a joy and a power and a light. And even in the darkness, you, singly and together, will be a light. And where there is fear and darkness and hatred and cruelty, you can be light and forgiveness and love. Even if you suffer, I promise you, you need fear nothing. Bring your sins to me, I promise you. Don't be afraid. We will work on them together. I will free you from them. Don't be afraid. I want to make you light of the world. I only ask this one thing, as I did of my disciples. Love each other. That's all I'm asking. This is my commandment. Love each other. Come to me every day. Come to me. And I promise you, I will change you. You will see it. Everybody else will see it. And I'll get the credit for it because I'm your Lord. I promise you, you come to me. Remember my words. If you come to me, I will take you out of your tombs. I will clothe you with light. And I will make you a light to the nations. You think this is too much for me. If you look at yourselves, I can see why you'd say that. But if you look at me, you'll see my power and my light and my love for you, my love for you. The women went and told his disciples, the former or the future apostles, he's risen, he's not there. And what did Luke tell us? The story seemed like nonsense, except one, Peter. Peter, already the Lord's promise is being fulfilled in him. Behold, Peter, our Lord tells him at the Last Supper, Satan has desired to sift all of you, like wheat. But I promise you, Peter, that I will strengthen you. And when you are turned around, strengthen your brethren. That's promising to us. If we will seek the Lord in prayer, if we will love each other, give up silly little enmities and emotional problems and love each other, light will come from this place and there'll be hope, even in the midst of darkness. Will there be suffering? Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Name a comfy, fat millionaire who doesn't suffer. So why wouldn't my disciples suffer? Be more like me, to be more purified and able to be a light. That's what we celebrate tonight. The Lord is inviting us, really, to a deeper walk with him. We always say, oh my gosh, that means I got to give up X, Y, Z and so forth. No. Just come to me, he says, and we'll work on that together. Because I want you. In a way, I need you to be light in the darkness.